Danielle's dad. It's been a rough week. I've been kind of on a manic bender the last 4 days since we found out. I knew I had to say something, and so when I went to pick up my nephew Jean-Paul, who was arriving from Paris, I took a tablet with me, and I just started writing some questions that I had, and I just wrote some stuff down. So I don't know how many of you know that I, when I was a little boy, I went to a seminary to become a Catholic priest, and I always thought it'd be fun to give a sermon, and I think this may be the closest I'll ever come to doing that. So buckle your seatbelts. How could this happen? Why do we feel so bad? What is going on? What kind of world is this? The last few days have been absolutely horrible for me. From all the reports leading up to her death, Danielle was in a good mood, fun to be with. She was the person we all loved, friendly, funny, interesting, wise. So I didn't understand when she died a few hours later after I talked to her. I'm suffering just like you all are. But I have one advantage. I saw this coming for the past 15 years. I've been kind of pre-horrified at what I saw happening to my darling little girl. And so I'm a few steps ahead of you, because it was in the air for a long time. I'd like to begin with a philosophical point. This makes sense to me because I was a hippie. One of Danielle's friends said, "You know what the difference is between a hippie and a punk? The hippie hasn't been raped yet." Here's the truth. It has two parts. I learned this a long time ago when I was studying a guy named Gurdjieff. He said that the greatest achievement of chemistry, of atoms and molecules and what the world is made of, is to arrange itself in such a way that it can pronounce the word chemistry. Got that? That's us. We are chemistry that can pronounce the word chemistry. The great achievement of this created cosmos is consciousness. Think of God reaching out and touching Adam's finger with his own, and suddenly, there it is, and there it is, and we're not just chemistry anymore. We're chemistry that can say the word chemistry. That was the real Big Bang. And it is us, in our choices, in our chairs, in this room, with our Kleenex. So I'm standing here right now to tell you that this awful feeling we have right now, this horror, this feeling that you're so sad, you don't know why your heart is still beating. But this is it. This is the Big Bang. This is the great gift. You guys are not tin cans and rolled up ace bandages. You are feeling so much right now that it's like getting tasered by God. We may hate it, but this is the gift. This is the deal. This is what we're stuck with. Now let me tell you about parenting. Making a baby that turns into a person whose heart will someday surely break like ours is now. That's part of the gift too. That's the Big Bang. We can't make chemistry, but we can make children. It's an incredible miracle. I've asked God for miracles, but I already had one. Danielle was her miracle. We get to be God when we make another. And if you have a kid like Danielle, you feel like the God of all gods. She was so bright, so alive, so smart, so funny, so beautiful, so Danielle. I began crying over her 25 years ago. Only they were tears of joy. They were tears of amazement. Two things you didn't know about Danielle. Maybe. One, she was double jointed. She was very flexible. She could bend every which of a way. She met very little resistance. And the second point is that she was a little bit like Mozart. She was kind of a prodigy in a way. But where Mozart, where his thing was music, Danielle's thing was emotion and feeling things. She was a kind of genius of the heart. She was a genius for feeling. Her happiness, when she knew you, it was like a supernova exploding in space. Kaboom! It's why she was so much fun to be with. Her ability to love others seemed boundless. When she fell for you, she fell all the way down the well, every time. Laugh? She was on the lookout, like a hunter, for the ridiculous, the super cute, anything involving robots, vampires, werewolves, zombies, the absurd. She was so much fun as a kid. And you knew from your own experience how she could light up a room like a blazing sun. The problem for Danielle was the same problem Mozart has. It was out of whack. It was out of balance. She didn't have other skills. She couldn't. Her genius was ungovernable. Her great highs led to great lows that many of us never got to see because she burrowed in isolation. We didn't get to see that part, but that's how she died. Great joy had the side effect of deep anxiety. She suffered from a psychological condition called emotional dysregulation. It was like being a car that had no brakes. You could get going to a really great speed, but too bad if you came to an intersection. If a negative feeling overtook her, she was unable to override it by talking to herself the way we eventually can override our feelings. Instead, it took over, and she suffered. She spent months of her life haunted by her frustrations, lost love, her physical limitations, the fights she got into with the geeks and the straights and the jackasses who crossed her. You didn't want to cross my kid. For this reason, she sometimes lived in a very deep state of grief, frightful anger, or overwhelming anxiety. This was so difficult for Rachel and me. We loved her so much, and it was our hope she would, as she got older, get a degree of control over these run-amok emotions. And for the past 3 years, she seemed to be making good progress. She became better at understanding herself, at identifying the delusions and lies that she, like we, allowed to buzz around in her brain. Rachel and I thought, good, if she can stay alive. If she can stay alive, we will be together all our lives, and we will know her when we are old. So we don't know what happened Monday night. I talked to her around 3 p.m., and she was anxious but friendly and hopeful. I promised to see her on Tuesday and help her with some money problems. I was concerned, but I was not afraid. Then Tuesday morning, the doorbell rang, and a Buddhist monk in saffron robes, a chaplain for the Minneapolis Police Department, was standing by our porch. You know the rest. It makes me angry that I prayed so long and in such anguish that she could be spared from this, and that we could be spared from this, and that this could be postponed until she was strong enough and well enough to find a way to live. Her mom and me always thought she should have a business, a saloon maybe, and offer people her hospitality, her characteristic warmth, and her wisdom, and her friendliness to customers. Only they wouldn't be customers. They would soon be her friends. A friend yesterday, a good old friend, was angry on our behalf, on my behalf. And he said, "You just couldn't catch a break, Mike." But I kind of bristled and I said, I was emphatic. We caught a big break. We caught a break to have Danielle. She was so smart and loving and remarkably wise about some things for someone so young. She gave us so much joy. You saw the pictures. She made us the people we are today. Rachel and I are strong. We're strong enough to suffer through this without turning on one another. Our love is good. Danielle helped us to learn about life and suffering and inner beauty. Having her was an enormous break. And though our hearts are indeed broken, to lose her, we have several things to console us. First, we have you. I have been blown away by your serious love. The people that have come to our house, our relatives and friends, the last 3 days, they've been like crutches propping us up. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I love you so much. I thank you. You all wept for my daughter, and I will love you forever for the honor that you do her. Second, I am lucky enough to believe Danielle is here right now with us. She's drinking all this in. She's liking it on a certain level. You know what she did? You know what great thing she's done? She's brought the hippies and the punks together. I didn't think that could be done. I think that's fantastic. She may be kicking herself to have caused us all this pain. I don't know if spirits can kick themselves. But if they can, if they let them, if they let her, believe me, I know that she's doing it. I know that she didn't want to cause us the pain that we're feeling. It was not in her to do that. By the way, she loved funerals, not for entertainment, but because there were times when people came together. She went to too many, I thought. I think she went to maybe 15 or 20 funerals in the last 6 years because a lot of her friends got into trouble. They had bad days. I wish she had skipped this one. I wish she had skipped this bad day. I want to end this sermon with a thought about the God in all this mess, and also a message to you, to each person in this room. In recent years, scared by what was overtaking Danielle, I became quite a prayer. I knew I could not turn this sickness around by my lonesome. I needed power, and I turned to God. Every day I prayed for mercy for my girl, for strength for us, for a cure or a delay, or whatever it could be that would allow us to continue together. 6 weeks ago, Danielle had surgery to correct a painful problem. I needed that surgery to succeed, and it didn't. And when it failed, I stopped praying. So the God of the universe has been on my shit list. When Danielle died, I bumped him to the top. I won't tell you all that was in my heart. I will just say, how could he? I figured I would bring God to his knees. that would show him. But I have to tell you something. I can't make it through this on my own steam. It's too big. It's too bad. It's too scary. And I'm a weak man. I'm a lot like my daughter that way. And as the days go by, I am impressed by what I call offsetting compensations. People have reminded Rachel and me how Danielle loved us madly, madly, madly. I don't know if that makes us feel better or worse, but I know you don't slam the door in love's face. You take it, and you are grateful for it however you get it. I am so impressed by her friends. There's enormous tenderness and affection in you. Some of you look a little scary. But I have seen your tears. And I know how vulnerable you all are in your hearts. And I say right on. Good for you. Shed a tear for my little girl. It makes you a better man. It makes you a better woman. Anyway, about the God thing, discussions are underway. There are good ways and bad ways to live with sorrow, and I need help to stay on the right path. So if you're listening, God, help me. Help us all. Help us to keep moving forward, because that is the only direction we are allowed to go. Now I want to talk about you. And the meaning of forward, of moving forward. I want you to figure out a way to do what Danielle was unable to do, and that is to change. I have the only edit in my piece coming up, so there's going to be a little flipping. We've got to stop going to so many funerals. We have to figure out how to live. Danielle was unable to get help. Or trust in it. She had her reasons, but that is why she is dead. She had bad feelings, so she drank, and she enjoyed many nights of joyful relief with you guys. But like I told Roy, Roy's here, I told him yesterday, this dying business has got to stop. The way we stop it is by feeling so damn sorry for ourselves. Life isn't broomball. It sucks sometimes, sometimes a lot. But everyone in this room is a grown-up. We are responsible for what we think and what we do. We have got to get a hold on ourselves. Danielle had the right idea. Lean on one another. Talk it out. Get the shit out about your hurts and disappointments. Then get rid of it. Pack it up in a box. Ship it to North Dakota, where it can't hurt anybody. You know, everyone is broken. But everyone here is a grown-up. Life sucks, but we carry on. We do it for each other. I think Danielle might have died a long time ago, but she hung on for her dog, and she hung on for us, and she hung on. She hung on for love. We carry on for each other. We do carry on for each other, don't we? Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Thank you. Liquor killed Danielle. She used it to block the pain and anxiety of her life. It was something she could do with friends. It brought on great joy, great relief, wonderful humor, tons of kidding, and a deep, deep, deep affection. But it ruined her health. And it killed her. Rachel and I have yearned to do an intervention for Danielle, but she always gave us the slip because talking about change always triggered her anxiety reflex. All we had to do was sit down and say we want to talk, and she was gone. She wouldn't hang around. She gave us the slip. She left the room. We tried many times. We tried to create the most loving, calm atmosphere to talk about change. She couldn't handle it. That was her. But you are not like that. And so I plead with you, like I pleaded with Roy yesterday. We have to get that evil spirit out of our lives. It's not our friend. It will take us down. And it's not just liquor. Whatever you do to deaden the pain, to dim your consciousness, the great painful gift, remember the gift, do it. Swear off it, get help. If your friends lure you into this, I'm sorry, get new friends. When you are better, you can go back and talk to them and maybe pull them along in your wake. Here's where my edit is. My beautiful and wise Rachel says that our lives are the product of the stories we tell ourselves. Danielle told herself the story that she could not be helped, that she was beyond it, that doctors were idiots, religion was a crock, death was a funny joke. Her story was compelling, but it was not true. She believed a false story. So we have to ask ourselves, what story are we telling ourselves? And what story is causing us to drag our feet and to feel like losers and to continue our suffering? That's not a good story. What untrue mythology? What self-pitying victimology? What excuse for not being the person we were born to be? My friends, we have to learn to love ourselves. We have to learn how to forgive ourselves. The way Danielle saw through our sorrows and saw the beautiful children that was inside each and every one of us. We have to put that love to work. We have to accept our pain. We have to live it. We have to stop blotting it out with drugs and behaviors and obsessions. Remember, we are chemistry. That can say the word chemistry. We have consciousness. We have leverage. We can do it. We are lost angels who doubt our own beauty, but we should not doubt it. We need to remember who we are. Danielle knows who she is now. I think she's so relieved. I knew I could play any music at this funeral because she would like it now. I could bring polka music in here. She'd say, that is good music. I love the Schottische. But do not doubt it. Danielle did not doubt it. She saw your beauty. The way a laser cuts through stone. She knew you and she loved you. And you loved her right back at her. I want you to put that love to work now. I know that I will probably never see many of you again after today. Not even after I finish this paragraph. But I offer you my thanks. And I offer you my life. We all need many fathers and many mothers in our lives. Many brothers and sisters too. If you need a father or a friend to talk to, I'm here. Rachel is here. With love in our heart and gratitude to you for your love. In the name of our beautiful Danielle, thank you.